My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? It's in those few words that we see, we hear what Good Friday is all about. My God, why have you forsaken me? Good Friday is about being God-forsaken. You see, this cry, it's known as the cry of dereliction. It's the culmination of a horrific string of events. See, this gentle, beautiful, strong man named Jesus of Nazareth had been living as a traveling rabbi for about 3 years. That he was no ordinary teacher. Claimed to be God in the flesh. The second member of the Trinity, the very Son of God. And his popularity, it would ebb and flow at different times during his ministry, but the height of his popularity came the Sunday just before this cry which happened on Good Friday, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was Palm Sunday. You remember what they said? Hosanna. The crowds hailed him as a king. It's kind of an ironic thing that was placed above his cross. A king. The crowds hailed him as a king, beloved by his disciples, but on Thursday night, everything started to change. Jesus is eating the Passover meal with his disciples, and he says something that would have been utterly shocking to them. He says this, and he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Those words make it quite clear this is no ordinary meal. That Passover was the truly Last Supper. And as the meal goes on, the horrific string of events starts to unfold. Jesus predicts that he would be deserted by his disciples, denied by perhaps his best friend. And he would be betrayed by one who was one of his closest allies. He predicted that all over the meal. And then just hours later, they find themselves in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it all starts to unravel. Judas leads this band to arrest him, betrays him with a kiss. The disciples scatter. Peter would go on to deny him. On Thursday night, the forsaking begins. His closest friends and his own countrymen forsaken. And then Mark, of course, picks it up on Friday morning. Jesus has been delivered to the Roman authorities, and Pontius Pilate delivers him over to be crucified like some common criminal. The horrific string of events only gets worse. Pilate delivers Jesus over to some Roman soldiers, and they beat him till he's nearly unrecognizable. They scourge him. They whip his back till there's no more skin. And then they take a purple cloak, purple, the color of royalty, and they toss it over his back. Let the blood soak it in, dry on his back. And then they kneel down. They don't know who they're kneeling before. And they mock him. Then they tear that purple robe right off of his back. It's a horrific scene. Put his own clothes back on him. Then they take a cross, a couple beams, throw it over his back, and they tell him to hike to Golgotha. The blood loss, the exhaustion, he can't make it. Keeps falling. Someone else has to carry the cross for him. And then the horrific string of events reaches its culmination. They lay this cross down on the ground and Jesus is back on it. They take spikes. They take spikes. It's our Jesus. They drive him into his wrists, into his ankles, and they hoist it up in the air and then drop it into a shallow hole. And with the drop, that the force of it dislocate Jesus' shoulders. And he's, at this point, just a matter of time until he suffocates to death. On Thursday, he's forsaken by his friends and his countrymen. On Friday, he's forsaken by his fellow humans. The New Testament would tell us those who were created by him, through him, and for him. Just like us. And they crucified him. But the cry of dereliction, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that cry, we realize that there is a horror to the cross that is far worse than being forsaken by his closest friends or even his countrymen or his fellow humans. There's a horror to the cross revealed in the cry of dereliction that is beyond even the physical pain of it. When Jesus cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? We realize that on the cross, Jesus is actually experiencing the curse of sin. He's being God-forsaken. You see, to be God-forsaken is to be separated from the life, the intimate love of the God that has created all of us for himself, to know him and worship him. Sin leads to being God-forsaken. After all, sin at its very core is a refusal to trust the one who has made us for himself. And Jesus was God-forsaken. Now, what's so extraordinary, of course, is that Jesus is the only man who has ever lived. He's the only man who has ever lived that had never tasted that God-forsaken horror. He had never sinned. He lived his life in perfect peace, holiness, devotion to his Father. But when he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? What we see is the true horror of sin, our sin, placed upon the only innocent one, the God-man, Jesus the Christ. Now, make no mistake, Jesus knew what he was doing. I mean, we just read these words from the Last Supper. He knew his blood would be poured out. Earlier in Mark, he says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In Mark's gospel, Jesus is a beeline for the cross. He knows it's coming. That's what makes the cry of dereliction that much more horrific. He knows it's coming, and yet that God-forsaken pain leads him to scream. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for you and for me. Peter, the one who would go on to deny Christ, describes the cross this way. He says, he himself, that's Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Paul, the great missionary of the New Testament, describes the cross by saying, for our sake God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin. That on the cross, Jesus becomes our sin. The one who knew no sin becomes our sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Charles Cranfield famously wrote, the burden of the world's sin, his complete self-identification with sinners, involved not merely a felt but a real abandonment by his Father. It is in the cry of dereliction that the full horror of man's sin stands revealed. The horror of distrusting this God who loves us so much, created us for the joy of knowing him, the horror of that cosmic treason that Jesus had never commit, is now put upon Christ so that it would not be put on you or me. Yeah, the cry of dereliction does reveal the true horror of sin, but it reveals something else, the unstoppable love of God. Don't let these words ever get old to you. The cross is proof that God will love, forgive, adopt forever anyone who comes to him through this God-man, Jesus Christ. The cross displays the full horror of our sin and simultaneously the unstoppable love of God, all in one place, Jesus. And so as our sin is placed upon him, he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? Good Friday truly is about being God forsaken. Jesus being forsaken, cut off, so that you would never be. Have you put your faith, your trust, your hopes on this Jesus? You know, the cross certainly displays the horrific nature of sin, the unstoppable love of God, but it also displays that we cannot rescue ourselves. He's up there for a reason. We cannot rescue ourselves. Salvation is in Christ alone. Now, I said that Good Friday is about being God forsaken, and it is. But that's not the end of the story. You see, when Jesus is crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's not mouthing random words. He's actually quoting from a messianic psalm of lament. He's quoting the very beginning of Psalm 22 when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And if you read the beginning of Psalm 22, which we'll do, you'll see that hundreds of years before this event, this messianic psalm describes Jesus' experience to a T. I'm going to read it with you. The words will be up behind me. This is Psalm 22. If you're looking at one of those Pew Bibles, it's on page 457. But you can just follow along with the screen. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel, and you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me. Like a ravening, roaring lion, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to my jaw. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. It's a psalm of lament, looking forward to what our Messiah would experience. But psalms of lament almost never end with lament. And that's how we know that when Jesus cries the cry of dereliction, when he cries as he takes the curse we deserve upon himself so that we could be beloved by God forever, when he makes that cry, it's not purely a God-forsaken cry. That cry says that this moment is not the end of the story. We'll continue with the psalm. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All of you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. And he had not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. My God, why have you forsaken me? Good Friday is about being God forsaken. Jesus taking our forsaken place so that we would not be forsaken forever. The horror of sin, the unstoppable love of God, all coalescing in one place. The cross of Christ, where he screams, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a cry of being God forsaken, and it's a cry that says, this is not the end of the story. So come back. Come back on Sunday. We'll see just where this story goes. Let's pray.